Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said nothing makes you more tolerant of a neighbor's noisy party than being invited to it. We're happy to have the opportunity of Bible study once more. We're glad to be able to look into the Word of God and learn more about God's will. We're looking at the fourth chapter of the book of John and the discussion the Lord had with the woman at the well. Do you remember she was a Samaritan, and the Lord, being a Jew, discussed with her the matter of worship? She indicated that according to their tradition, the mountain that was there was where they might worship. But, she said, the Jews worship in Jerusalem. The Lord responded that worship, in order to please God, true worship, must have these requirements. It must be in spirit, and it must be in truth. We've noted the fact that for it to be in truth, that would simply mean it's according to the Word of God. A person ought not to be disturbed when somebody says to him, "Where is the Bible that authorizes what you're doing in worship?" If he's doing what the Lord has authorized, he'd be happy to show you where the Bible teaches that. If, on the other hand, he's worshiping according to the doctrines and the commandments of men, he may become offended by your questioning what he's doing. Obviously, if we're doing the right thing, then that forms acceptable worship. If we're not doing what he has authorized, then we've gone off on our own, following the doctrines and the commandments of men. The second requirement that the Lord made in regard to worship is that it must be in spirit. That just simply means it's coming from the heart. Now let me point out very quickly that the heart, as used in the Bible, is not the blood pump. People sometimes have the mistaken idea that when the Bible talks about the heart, they're talking about their blood pump. Frequently, someone would say, "I have religion down deep in my heart." And what they're talking about, as they say that, they're talking about the part of their body that pumps the blood through their body. And the reason I know that is because they pound themselves on their chest and say they have religion of the heart. Well, friends, if there's something in your chest that is amiss, you need to see a doctor. Obviously, that's not the heart that the Bible talks about when it talks about having religion and being sincere in our heart. We draw nigh to God with a true heart. That is, we keep our minds pure. And also, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Obviously, he's not saying those who have good blood running through their bodies. He's not talking about our physical bodies. He's talking about the part of man that thinks, the intellect, and the emotions. We obey from the heart, that form of doctrine. We obey then what the Lord has said with all of our understanding, with all of our being. Isn't that what's involved then in acceptable worship? That just simply means that I know and understand what I'm doing. Now look again at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, if we just stop there, it isn't hard to be able to see this. The people were drawing near in what they were saying. Their heart was not in it. They either didn't understand or they were not participating in it as they ought to, so their heart was far from him. They were doing things, but not doing the right thing. Now, I realize a number of people today become offended when you point out that whatever they do in word or deed must be authorized by the Lord. They have the idea that if you're doing something, that's all that's necessary, and that God will accept anything that a person wants to do. But friends, the Bible teaches it must come from the heart. Look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. The writer of the Hebrew letter says this, "Let us draw nigh with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Drawing near to God with a true heart simply means we're thinking about what we're doing. We're not just saying words in worship. It's not just rehearsing something that somebody else has said. It's rather a matter of us doing what we from our heart, that is our thinking part, have decided that's what we need to be doing. Once in a while, people will say to me, "Would you please write down a prayer?" And I'll rehearse that prayer, offer that prayer to God. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying what somebody else has said in prayer, but if it doesn't come from the heart, and you haven't put your mind into what is being said, it really wouldn't be acceptable, would it? We need to be praying from the heart. That is, thinking about what we're doing. Do you remember Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when he said, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Do you think that worship that we really don't understand is what God wants us to engage in? Or is it true that God wants us to engage in worship that is coming from our understanding? Well, I think clearly that's what God wants of us. He wants us to understand what we're doing, and so we offer our prayers and our petitions and our worship in the name of Christ according to what God has said that we ought to be doing, our hearts in what we're doing. Did you ever sing a song and realize when you have come to the conclusion of that song that you really didn't think much about what was being said? You merely were rehearsing something you'd learned a long time ago. And so instead of it being something that comes from your heart with meaning, it's just simply saying something that you have memorized. Well, that kind of worship wouldn't please God, would it? God wants us to think about what we're doing. Imagine a person at the end of a prayer, if he hasn't heard what the prayer says, imagine a person saying, "Amen." Amen just simply means that's my feelings. Those are my sentiments. I agree with what has been said. But if you can't hear it, you couldn't amen what is being said. And so it's important that the prayer that is offered unto God be an expression of what we have in our own hearts to our Father in heaven. We therefore pray with the Spirit and understand what we're saying. Did you ever say anything in a song that you didn't understand what the words meant? Well, I'm sure all of us have done that sometime or other. But isn't it true that we ought to understand what we're saying? There's an expression in one of the songs that says, "Night with ebon pinion brooded o'er the veil." What is ebon pinion? Do you ever think about that? The idea of that song needs to be understood before we sing that song to our Father in heaven. That also would be true of the statement that said, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come." That again is a question, what is this Ebenezer that he's talking about? And what is it that is implied by that song? Well, we need to learn what it is, don't we? We need to look at what the song says and then express in the words of the song a feeling that we have and we appreciate in regard to God. Well, those things we mentioned to you, suggesting that God wants us to worship Him in spirit, that is, according to the thinking, and in truth, according to what is revealed in the Word of God. Tomorrow we'll look at another part of acceptable worship. We hope that you'll be with us, and we'll appreciate the opportunity of Bible study. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.